Jane and Marie here from Percent Compatibility. I'm your genie, but with the Marie's and meh. It's getting freaking hot here in Vegas. Oh my god, it's over 102.
Yeah.
Anyways, what are we talking about today, guys? We are talking about the news story of how a white woman calls police on black neighbors in New Jersey. And we're talking about racist rants in 2020. Oh, lordy. And so, so this is my thoughts. Okay, so she was stalked, sounds like she was kind of stalk-ish, harassed for 2 years. I'm like, 2 years, for God's sakes. I mean, 2 years, like, okay, what I want to know is, was this reported 2 years ago or even earlier? And then, or maybe, you know what I mean? And also, was there white neighbors that stuck up for her 2 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm. If it was me, I would say something. Like, knowing me, I would say something. Because I just grew up in diverse environments. So it's like, it's funny because when I hear about systemic racism, I feel like it's a little bit harsh in this day and age of 2020. Not that it doesn't exist. I'm not acknowledging that. That's what I'm saying. But I'm just like saying, like, obviously, depending on the geographical location that you grew up in, it really may not exist as bad as we think it is because of the diverse population and the way that the city works. Like, Cleveland is 50% black, and it so much depends on employers too, right? Like, now you experienced like, tell everybody how you experienced this. You had, was someone calling the cops one time, right?
Did anybody call the cops on me?
Yeah, you said, sure. You did, right? When, sure. How many times did it happen to you?
Like twice.
And when, how old were you, and well, see, where was it?
My wife is white.
Yeah.
And one time my wife went out of town, and I didn't really put my hand on it the first time it happened.
Yeah.
I was, my wife, it's on two occasions when my wife was out of town, and I didn't sleep in the bedroom. I slept in the living room and watched the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and I didn't realize how loud I had the TV. It was just me, you know.
Yeah.
And so I get a cops called on me, and I opened up the door, and I was like,
wow, you know, both times were in Vegas?
Yeah, both times.
Really?
And the cop both times said, like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I said, he asked me, I said, sir, I can turn it down, you know.
Was it because of the music, just, or?
No, it wasn't music, it was a TV.
Oh,
I had a movie.
It was not that big of a deal.
Yep, and
just ask a neighbor to turn it down.
The first time, I didn't say anything to the neighbors.
Yeah.
I think the second time I did. So the guy, he spoke to me every day.
Yeah.
White guy. He was a biker, like a cyclist.
Yeah.
He said, hey, Thomas, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And his wife never, ever said anything to me. But the second time I had to go up to say, ask her and question her. I said, why would you call the police on me? Your husband know me.
Yeah.
All he had to do is come and knock on the door.
Yeah.
And say, Thomas.
Yeah, that's silly.
So, and I said, I just want to pose a question to you. I'm not trying to be, start anything.
Right.
I said, is it because I'm black?
Yeah.
And she just looked at me like, and didn't say anything. So, I left, and I looked at the husband. I said, man, you know me.
Yeah.
Y'all, you speak to me and my wife every day when we leave in the house. And he just looked at me like, so apparently, you know, she's
probably shocked that you were so, like, calmly assertive.
Yeah, yeah. And I asked her,
yeah,
is it because of black? So shortly after that, they moved.
Mm.
And, yeah, I had the police call on me.
Sheesh.
And the experience is good. I enjoy it. I really do.
Enjoyed asserting. So what was the first time? What was the second time?
The first time, as far as...
So that was the first time someone called the cops on you?
No.
Or was that the second time?
No. That was probably the first two times that actually rings out.
Oh, you can remember.
That rings out.
Oh, okay.
But being racially, like, oh, I don't like you because you're black. Oh, that's happened a lot.
Really? In Vegas or
other
places? I'm just curious.
Mostly in Vegas.
Really?
I experienced the first time when
it's
I was
so diverse here. You wouldn't think so.
The first time I experienced in college in Oklahoma when I went to college, played basketball. And
that's very white there, right?
Oh, no, Indian.
Indiana?
Indian.
Oh, Indian, is it?
Yes. That's why you see those Oklahoma license plates.
Yeah.
And you see the Indian emblem around it.
Oh, yep. Interesting.
Yep, yep.
I mean, I've never visited, so.
Yeah, Oklahoma is more Indian. And I'm in practice in Oklahoma, leaving the dorm.
Yeah.
And these white guys pass by on a pickup truck, and they say, "Niggers." I was like, I looked around. I never experienced it like that.
I feel like that's so, kind of a hatred version of like catcalling to women. So that's how I see that.
One of my Jamaican buddies, he's black. One of them went and grabbed a rock and threw it. And I'm looking at him like,
"Oh my God,
what are you doing?"
Like it wasn't
because I never experienced that, you know. But I do know what it is to live it and know what it is to be like. It's a good quote. This is a good story here.
Yeah.
Me and my wife started dating.
Mm-hmm.
First white relationship ever.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of like approaching a different type of relationship,
so,
I guess.
Yeah, so I'm like, we go to Arizona, Phoenix.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was one of the most racial states. Phoenix. And Arizona, actually. And but that was many, many years ago. We're in our 17th year married.
Okay, yeah.
And that was back in those days. People used to say to me, a lot of racial people there. So me and my wife, well, it's your girlfriend at the time, we're walking in to get something to eat. I forget what venue it was, but, and these white people was just looking at us like.
Well, they probably never seen an interracial relationship before.
Yep. And this was 16 years ago. And so I felt it.
Yeah.
And she felt it.
It's kind of like a culture shock.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then my wife tried to tell me, she broke out in tears one time. And I'm looking at her and I'm like, "Why are you crying?"
Yeah.
And
So
she says, "My dad is not going to accept you." Mm-hmm. Because her dad was born in 1930. When in those times, her dad was like, if he see a black dude, it'd be a little nigger boy. So I didn't use his name. I was just giving you, you know, just a little bit of history. But she broke down, to conclude the point, she broke down. And I said, what's wrong, babe? And then she's like, "I don't think my dad's going to accept you." And so I said, well, I got kind of frustrated about it, but I kind of felt some way about her.
So how did you overcome that pivot? Because this can relate to a lot of people regarding even race. Not even race. It could be just culture. You could be two white people coming from very different religious backgrounds. Or like one person could be a little bit religious. One person may not be.
We came from the same background as far as religious.
Yeah.
Because we both didn't come up in like in a religious family like that.
Right.
You know, we had our family every now and then. They say, okay, Easter time, Christmas time, let's go to church. You know, we both basically came up like that. We wasn't no religious family.
Right.
You know, but other than that, so I knew my wife 6 years before I even married her.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so were you associates, friends?
We were associates.
Oh, you just kind of knew each other.
Hello and goodbye.
Oh, hey, just you know. Like, hey, and then that's it. Yeah, that's kind of funny.
Yeah, but her, to conclude the point with her dad is that he grew up in those times where that word was rampant and it was no big deal.
Right.
So when she married me, I finally meet him. You know what he did? You know what he did?
I don't know.
Take a wild guess.
Oh, he called you hey nigger?
No.
Oh, he hugged you?
He hugged me.
Aw, yay. See, there's hope, everybody.
See, I told you knew it.
That's what I was hoping, but I didn't want to lie. There's hope, everybody. There's hope.
I told you knew it. He knew it. So here's what her dad was about.
Yeah.
even though he grew up in those times where black people were property, they were not people.
Right.
But you can't. It's for a time.
It was just time period culture. Yeah.
It's a time being present. The Jews went way more through black people. They went way through way more. They go back all the way back to there was no such thing as white people. There was no such thing as black people.
Yeah.
If you go in the book of Acts,
Jewish people have gone through a lot too. Yeah.
You will see there are no white people. There are no. I mean, if you go all the way back in the book, that's why I always tell people.
Yeah.
You know, educate yourself.
Yeah.
And you will find out things.
Well, we have a lot of people have so much more common than we think.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
No matter what religion or background you come from. Like, yeah. I've hung out with a friend of mine. I was hanging out with, I swear to God, I attract the bugs, everybody.
You know, I'm trying to live. But anyway, let me conclude the point. I don't want to draw it out like that. But,
yeah.
So my wife's father, he hugged me. And what he liked is a man that comes in a suit and a tie.
That's how you impressed him.
So my wife told me, hey, honey, where... You don't want to wear a coat. Just wear some, wear a tie.
Yeah.
But I was already used to that because it was my job entailed.
Right, right, right.
My job entailed that for long before I even met her.
Yeah.
Her dad. And I said, babe, I'm probably already equipped to meet your dad because I've already experienced racial stuff on top of racial stuff.
Right.
So even if your dad would have brought that to me, I would always be able to take it.
Because you kind of got used to it, even though,
So, at the end of the day, he bragged about me almost to the end of the night.
Oh, that's sweet.
He looked at my wife's oldest brother. He said, did you see that?
No. Well, that shows that there's hope, everybody, that people can change.
But
he
was born in the 30s, though.
Right. But I think also you probably, and a lot of it can come from experience, right? If someone had a bad experience with a certain religion or race, and if you bring home someone that's like an angel or a saint, that's not like that, then you're like, oh, you're changing my perception, you know?
My wife's ex was a white guy.
Yeah.
You know who didn't like him?
Her father. Right, right. Well, and then he saw that you treated her good.
So when they came to a function, he would come in some jean shorts.
Yeah.
And a ball cap.
Just look too like
he would
cheap,
just
not really try hard.
He just didn't care.
Yeah.
So her dad looked at him like he's not a stand-up gentleman. You know, and so he did that a few times, and a lot of the family, especially her brothers, they was tease my wife about the white guy. She said he is nowhere near Thomas.
Aww, that's sweet. That's so sweet. That's sweet in a funny sibling. I have siblings, so I get it.
Now the oldest brother.
Yeah.
He is the newscaster in San Antonio, Texas, Channel 5.
Mm-hmm.
So he kind of, you can tell he kind of grew up in those times where, you know, you look at black people being a minority.
So he
pulled me, we all got done with dinner.
Mm-hmm.
He pulled me in the corner and I'm looking like, did I do anything wrong? You know, so.
Yeah.
And he said, hey man, I'm going to tell you, I never would have thought I would have saw how genuine you is.
Aww, that's
and
sweet.
He said,
sweet.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
And
he
said, I really appreciate that. I thank you. And that made me know that you're going to take care of my sister.
Yeah. I mean, every good sibling and good parent wants their siblings or child to just be have a good partner that's going to be there for them and their cheerleader and they'll appreciate it. Oops.
Okay. So, just echoing off of my experience of being around people that actually like, well, I responded to a call at work one day. I'm just jumping the gun here a little bit. I responded to a call one day, and Thomas took control. Can you go over to the one of the shops and help a gentleman. He's lost. I say, sure, copy that.
Yeah.
All right, Thompson Control, I'm on scene. So anyway, he looked at me. He was an older white man. He said, I don't trust black people. So I jumped on the radio.
Yeah.
I said, Thompson Control, I am clear. This gentleman clearly have something wrong with my skin. He don't like me. He said he don't trust black people, and I am clear.
Yeah.
And that's what I said, you know.
Yeah.
And I've had people, especially young white guys, back in the day when I was working the nightclub. I've been called a black ass.
Yeah. Yep. So how did you overcome this, like, resentment, in a sense? Because it can build up resentment when you have so many things time and time again.
Because I lived it.
But, I mean, how did you not remain angry?
I wasn't angry. I don't remember being sad about it.
Yeah.
Only thing I look at is my parents, my grandmother, my great-grandmother. They the one lived it, and I got a little bit of it that they passed on to me, because I'm the only boy that actually talked to his dad a lot. Mm-hmm. My real dad, he's the one that gave me an example of drinking out of whites only water fountain.
Right, right. So you think, in your perspective, so you think they had it worse?
We got it worse.
They had it worse, or you had it worse?
Us as a whole has it worst. Because here's the reason why I say that. We said in our other video.
Yeah.
So when you get a terrorist thing.
Yeah.
Let's go back to 9/11. Yeah. So we already know about the Middle East.
Yeah.
Let's go back to West Virginia massacre. Asian.
Mm-hmm.
DC sniper.
Oh, yeah.
Black. These are black. This is an older black man and a younger black guy.
Yeah.
So my point is the reason I'm saying is it's worse these days is because you don't know who's who.
Oh, yeah. So.
Right.
In other words, it was more transparent back in the day. Kind of like you kind of predicted it.
Yeah. Back in the day, you knew.
Yeah. You knew who's not on your side. Whereas now it's you don't know. It's more passive aggressive. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I guess is true, with these neighbors, it that would upset me. Because I've actually, it's funny, because I tell people I've been around, so many black people where it's I swear to God, I have not seen it. It's just a coincidence, just because, they all know that I'm not like that. So,
more things change, the more they remain the same. We said the same thing in the other video. Oh, just did that like my mom.
Mm.
So it's mostly it's DNA. But then I agree with you, though.
Mm.
You could do better.
Yeah, you can do better. And also, one thing to keep in perspective, everybody is I guess,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I know I'm not black, so I don't know if my advice can help. But one thing, there's different forms of ignorance. There's so many different forms of ignorance. I've had my version of ignorance where it's I was going to say, one thing I encourage people is honestly, I hate to say it, but it's kind of like thinking like Jesus in a sense, forgive them for they do not what they do. Seriously. People, I think a lot of people don't even know what they're saying. They don't realize how they're saying it and what they're saying comes across. And it's obviously it depends on the severity.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had a conversation with some people where it's no, you don't need to feel sorry for them. Well, yes and no. It depends obviously on the person. In this case, this lady, this is my theory, everyone. I think that racism in 2020 is not normal. I think if they're going off a racism tangent to somebody and paranoid like that, what this situation is, imagine they're probably going to do the same thing in the house. Mm-hmm. The same race people. I bet you any money. Because I have not any money, but I just make a bet. Because one of my guy friends is white. And his crazy paranoid mother used to call the cops on him sometimes. Swear to God. And I was and he told me this. I was really? Why? And he was saying, I don't know. I didn't even do anything. I'm I think your mother's a paranoid schizophrenic or something. Seriously, because.
Well, you know, one thing is, too, that.
It's 2020, God's sakes.
you have to know how to handle yourself.
So, and how do you recommend people how to handle it?
I would say this to you, especially, Anna, because you're a female.
Yeah.
If you get some guy come off at you and it was totally out of line.
Oh, I've had this happen to me.
You should be strong enough to say, look, you better back.
Oh, I do.
Just to conclude the point, yes, I experience racism and stuff like that. And it might sound like I'm crazy, but
no.
I enjoyed it.
Why do you say you enjoy it? Do you find it entertaining?
No, I experienced it.
That's an interesting way to look at it.
I got something to pass on.
Yeah, yeah.
I got something to tell people that...
I can't stand ignorance. It drives me nuts. I don't enjoy ignorance.
I guess I can pass it on.
Yeah.
I can pass it on and say, look, never think racism is not there.
Yeah.
And that's what I pass on.
Racism and ignorance.
But it's not always racism.
Right. It's not always. Sometimes it's just cultural misunderstanding.
Look at most of those instances.
Sometimes it is, and sometimes it's cultural misunderstanding. Yeah.
Being somebody been trained by law enforcement. Look at most of those instances. I ain't saying people deserve to die. It was non-compliance.
Yeah.
It was non-compliance. Yeah. If the police tell you to do this, you do it.
You comply. Oh, yeah. No, I would not. Yeah. I mean, I've never been in that situation, but I would not screw around with that. Although, no, wait. I was yelled at by a black woman cop, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was like, I accidentally went the wrong way on a one-way, totally by accident, totally, sincerely. And I pulled over. I was like, I'm so sorry. It was dark. I couldn't see the sign. And she was like yelling at me. I was like, okay. She was scary. And I'm like, jeez, like, you don't have to react like that. Like,
I'm just speaking up for black people, you know, because I'm black.
Yeah.
Comply. Just comply.
You don't want to worth the risk, right? I guess.
You getting so much stuff going on right now is because of what our recent thing that happened with the guy that stood on the dude's neck. We getting more black people think they're above the law. And then you got more cases and more cases coming up where black people getting killed and getting shot still to this day. Yeah. Right now.
Yeah.
You know, so... That's my message to if you're black, just comply. You know, you want to go home to your family.
Not even black, just everybody, really. Yeah, like, I saw one... Principally. I know what you're saying.
Principally, because I know it can be anybody.
One white teenager was not complying, and then he got... What did he get? Did you see he got in a coma, or they pulled him out of the car? It was... The way they reacted was ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly, the cops was ridiculous. But at the same time, if it was me, I would just comply. I would not argue.
Yeah, it's compliance.
Because...
It's compliance, you know. And so if you're thinking about your family, you would walk away, you know, because karma. I believe in karma.
Oh, yeah.
And...
Karma's a bee.
Yeah.
Careful, everybody. Karma's a bee.
Yeah. I believe in karma. So if you... think about the karma thing, you would walk away.
Yeah.
Just walk away.
So in summary, everybody, we encourage you to try not to hold resentment against all this racism and ignorance crap. I mean, there's a lot of ignorance in this world. Unfortunately, we can't help everybody, but as Pursuing Compatibility founder, I'm doing the best that I can to help break ignorance, because there's a lot of different forms. And how did you come to peace with, like, this issue? Instead of, like...
Myself.
I'm just curious.
I have... Myself?
Yeah. Forgive others for hurting you?
I make sure I'm right. I make sure I'm right with myself.
Yeah.
Because I don't see color.
Yeah.
Because everybody has something going on with themselves where they know they're not right with themselves.
Yeah.
You know,
That's true.
I try to make sure I'm right with myself.
Yeah.
So I don't give advice if I'm not right with myself.
That's true.
You should, whatever you say to somebody, make sure you practicing it.
Yeah, I can't stand it when people don't practice what they preach. They go tell people stuff and they don't practice it. And just like, why did you even bother giving that advice?
Being a Bible person. Romans 2. Read it.
What's
it
say?
It said, if you tell me, thou shalt not do this, do you do that?
Yeah, I know. A lot of people don't do it. It's annoying.
I just paraphrased. Yeah. That's not what it...
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't tell your brother, don't do this.
Yeah.
But then you know.
Well, a lot of people do that, unfortunately. Yeah. Even in the religious community, a lot of people don't practice what they preach.
Yeah, practice what you preach.
All right, everybody. Thanks for watching. Hopefully this was an encouraging video that was inspiring to you. And, you know, in these tough times that we're kind of facing with sometimes some of this racial issues, that's not really fun. It's frustrating and disheartening. But, we'll get there. We'll get there. Okie dokie, everybody. Stay safe in this pandemic. Multiple hugs a day. Keeps cranking its way. But stay safe in this pandemic. We're not wearing a mask just because there's a lot of ventilation. We feel really comfortable out here. And it's really, really hot. I'm sorry. And we trust each other. He trusts me.
Well, you know, I'm outside.
Yeah.
So I don't care. But let me get in the inside. I'm putting the mask on.
Yeah, I'm in the mask. I don't want to catch it. I really don't. I have an autoimmune condition. I don't want to catch it. So. All right, guys. Have a good day and good night, people. Okay. There'll be lots more videos to come. Okay. Bye.